Where the fuck is it? Oi. Sit back, chillax. Zone in and tune out. You're all very welcome to this week's edition of the Cannabis Patient Podcast, with your award-winning and BAFTA-nominated host, Kenny Tynan. I'm joined for my very first live interview in the studio here. I'm joined this evening by, I know him by the Mo.
As a lot of people do, yeah.
Yeah, and he's recently set up Jacob's Veg Box, and I know that an awful lot of the listenership from here is they're into growing different vegetables along with different herbs, magical herbs and or whatever, you know. But they all come under the one category, like, you know. So, tell us a little bit about Jacob's Veg Box and what you do.
Well, Jacob's Veg Box is a CSA. So that's a CSA might be a confusing acronym, but it stands for Community Supported Agriculture, which is basically it's a commitment. It's a commitment by the farmer, and it's a commitment by the members, by the customers, and so the members make a commitment to the farmer to pay up front for the season, and the farmer makes a commitment to the members that they're going to provide fresh, healthy vegetables all season, everything that's in season all year long.
That's fucking sounds amazing. Like, you know, what kind of stuff do you produce? Like?
So at the moment we're just getting started, but we have in our own garden we have potatoes and beetroots and stuff. I brought you over a box today with everything we have in season, some French beans as well, and some of our fresh duck eggs.
Fantastic. I can't wait to try them fucking duck eggs, man. They're beauts, so they're all together, you know?
Yeah, they're fantastic. I've hatched three of those a couple of months ago, and I have another 10 under chicken again now.
Class. It must be a fucking great experience. Have you many animals on the farm?
We don't have as many as we used. We have, we're just stocking up again now, mostly with ducks. Ducks are my favourite animal because they're great gardeners.
Right. Fill us in on that.
Well, for instance, they eat a lot of slugs, which is a big pest here in Ireland, slugs and snails. And they eat a lot of flies as well. And they contribute their own fertiliser, of course.
Yeah, true that.
And a bit of scratching and a bit of pest, just mainly pest control.
Right, I didn't realise that at all. No, you know, so they're handy enough to keep. Like, are they as handy as chickens to keep? Like, you know?
They're easier, I'd say. Even they're much more resistant to any diseases or anything like that. They're very hardy animals.
Right, yeah. And there's another way there'd be a smell off the old chickens. You know?
Yeah,
is there the same smell off the ducks?
It depends on how you keep them. The same with the chickens. If you keep them kind of intensively, or even if you have a very small pen, the smell builds up. You know.
Yeah.
But if they're outdoors and they're running around, they have plenty of land there.
Yeah, so what kind of first got you into doing the bit of veg? You know.
Well, I was raised by two hippies, so that's that was a good start.
If you want to go back a bit, so that sounds interesting.
Well, when we moved here, I'm from England originally, so I moved here when I was about 5 years old, and as if moving into a rural area with an English accent wasn't enough, we're hippies as well, to boot.
You seem to have got the old Roscommon accent pretty well now, this
day. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so that gave me like a pretty good resilience, we'll say, to being able to speak out and being able to be myself, because I was obviously so different anyhow, coming over with an English accent. And then my father and mother started an organic farm.
Oh, lovely.
It was small, 25 acres there, so with pigs, and we were doing medicinal herbs at the time, which raised some suspicion from the guards.
Oh, right, okay.
They came down, the electrical company, because we had a big commercial dryer to dry the herbs, the electrical company came, notified the guards about our electric use.
All right.
And they came down to check us out.
I'd say that was very interesting. How old are you when that happened?
Oh, we were only shortly after arriving, so I was probably about six then. Yeah.
That's what got you into.
That was where my love of farming came from, really. being raised in that. I mean, even when we were in England, we had an allotment and we had some chickens in the back garden and stuff. So I've always been around it. And I was away for a couple of years. I ran a business in the events industry. And I just got tired of it in the end. Well, there were several factors came together all at once, but I got tired of it and jacked it in the end of last year. And going back full-time farming now this year coming.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, they think that the events industry is all fucking... It's all glamour and
yeah. when you work in the concerts, we did a lot of festivals, a lot of concerts, three arena types of things like that. But you end up realizing very quickly the rock and roll isn't that rock and roll.
Lugging boxes around.
It's a lot of hard work, and you know, if you go into the green rooms, there's not so much bottles of whiskey and. Bags of coke anymore. There's a lot of kiwi fruits laid out and stuff.
Avocado spread.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's it. There's this impression of that bands on tour. You know, they're fucking off their face all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe in the '80s and just before that. You know,
there's a lot of change.
Nowadays, it's total clean living. You know what I mean? Because you have
especially if you're a tour, and you know, you kind of have to look after yourself. It's a lot on the body, and even if you're only singing or, you know, I say only performing, but it's actually quite a lot of work for those guys, you know, and it's heavy going, late nights, a lot of moving around, so you have to keep yourself in top condition.
Yeah, because a friend of mine, mutual friends, actually, you know, James, if you're listening, how's it going? Como estás? Yeah. Well, that's Spanish, isn't it? He's in Italy. Yeah. Buenos dias. That's Spanish as well, isn't it? Ah, oh, man, I'm fucking stoned. Here, take this. But yeah, man. So tell us a little bit more about the business. Because you brought me in a box of fresh veg there, and it was absolutely beautiful, like, you know, and are you doing this as a delivery service or?
Well, it'll be a weekly subscription box delivered to a local pickup point. So if there's, we'll say if there's 10 people in Roscommon Town, I'll deliver into the square in Roscommon Town. So it's a public space so that everyone gets to see as well that, you know, what's going on. There's a bit of publicity as well on top of everything else.
Yeah, you've been making a few videos on Facebook, and just the response. You've been getting a great response.
Yeah, massive. Actually, I was very surprised. Very grateful to everyone that's been sharing and commenting and watching. It's been great fun, really, to be honest. Just talking about what I love doing.
So, if let's say the likes of myself, I want to order me weekly veg from you. Let's say, how would I go about?
No. Well, we're not launching yet, but we'll be launching for next season. So the subscription will start in October, this October. You can comment on our page, send me a message and I'll with your email, and I'll put you on the email list for when we launch. And then in October, you pay 50% of your deposit for the year, and with the rest having to be paid before the start of the season in May. And then that's it. We'll just deliver every week then to the local pickup point near you.
Oh, that's amazing. Because there's so many people that are going organic, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's becoming more and more, there's more and more vegans coming out, you know.
Sure, yeah.
And I went vegan for a while myself, like, you know, and the food is fantastic, like, you know.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
A lot of vegetables just have, they're just bland, you know. So, but when you add them in certain, you know, we'd say add certain spices to it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you could have I made a beetroot burger and it was like a piece of steak. So
beetroot's a lovely vegetable. It's very sweet, you know, and it's a very versatile vegetable. You can use the tops as well as the roots as well. It's beautiful, yeah.
All right, with the leaves.
Can use the leaves just as the same as you'd use any leafy green. It's perfect, and a stir fry is the best. It's my favorite use.
Oh, right. Yes, I must try that.
Yeah. Yeah, just chop them up and whack them in.
Oh, lovely. Perfect. Lovely, yeah. Can you tell us what else is in the box out there?
So what I have in the box there for you today is this new potatoes. They were grown in our herb spiral, actually. But Yeah, new potatoes, they're beautiful with them. There's actually some peppermint in the box as well. So if you boil up the spuds, bang in a bit of butter and a couple of leaves of the mint. Really, really nice. There's the green beans there. Again, really good in the stir fry, green beans, or you can boil them or steam them for a side veg. And what else is in there? Sage and rosemary is in there, and some kale. Kale is beautiful. It has a very long season. So a part of what I'm doing with Jacob's Veg Box is kind of promoting seasonal eating. So eating whatever's in season, and kale is a great vegetable for that, because it has a long season and it's very rich in vitamins and iron, and it's just very easy veg to cook as well. What else in there? A cabbage, of course, you know. Yeah. Good for Ireland. Yeah. Cabbage and spuds. A couple of onions as well. The onions are out of the ground, they're drying on racks, so they store very well, so we can keep banging them out in the boxes. There's garlic as well, the same thing, stores very well. And the duck eggs, of course, as we mentioned, the duck eggs, and there's a couple of chicken eggs in there as well. Yeah.
I can't wait to try them duck eggs tomorrow. I was only speaking to me Gosson there last week about them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And saying that, you know, because all our boys are lovers of eggs, like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And we always, you know, we always want, well, we're trying to become self-sustainable here, you know, put down on the food bill and this kind of crack, you know, not just for money, but for the mental health and as well, proper rearing of the boys, like, you know. Like, I'm a townie originally, like, you know. So this is all new to me, you know. Mm. And like, my last house was, the father had concreted the front garden and the back garden.
Yeah, there's many houses like that around the place, for sure, yeah. Well, it's a perfectly reachable goal is to become self-sustainable, especially in Ireland. We have, what do we have? We have 4.4 million people, and there's 4.9 million people, and there's 4.4 million usable agricultural hectares. And it comes down to about 2.2 acres per person, which, that's loads. You could be self-sustaining on 1 acre, you know, so 2.2 acres. There's loads and loads of room to be self-sustaining in this country, for sure.
Reckon?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah, but with food and with power, I think we could. You know, you don't have to look far. Well, you'd see the likes of Cuba, that, you know, when they were forced with the embargoes and the fall of communism and the embargoes and everything that fucked their country at the time, and how well they've done in the face of that, becoming self-sustainable with food. They pioneered a lot of what we know now as organic agricultural techniques, with the composting and self-sustaining systems.
Like kind of permaculture.
Permaculture ideas as well.
Yeah,
they developed a lot of things that are used within permaculture. Yeah.
You mentioned medicinal herbs earlier on.
Yeah.
And we all know that cannabis is medicinal.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And it has many medicinal uses. What other medicinal herbs?
Well, we grow, the one people would recognise most is echinacea. You get your echinacea tincture, you get it there in Holland and Barrett or wherever you get it. It's for boosting your immune system, so it's good for colds and flu or things like that. We grow all sorts of stuff, echinacea, scutellaria, sage and mint, and yeah, anything that could be made into a tincture for health reasons, yeah.
Excellent, that's good. So I seen you putting down in your last video, I seen you putting down a bit of cardboard.
That's right,
there,
yeah.
You know?
Okay, so you can use this for growing cannabis as well, all these techniques, but, which is a good idea.
Yeah.
But, so you can start, it's called a no-dig system, and it fits very well with what I'm doing with regenerative agriculture and with permaculture, with organic farming. Although I have to put a note on that, we're not certified organic, because our scale is just not worth it. And we're kind of going beyond organic anyway with regenerative agriculture. So it's just an important point to note, is that we're not certified organic.
Right.
But the no-dig system, you put down... the whole idea behind the no-dig system is to have a healthy soil life. And that benefits your plants, because your plants aren't taking up the nutrients that you see in those fertilizers. They're taking up plant available fertilizers that are taken up by the other soil life and processed through into basically very tiny manure, you know.
Yeah.
And so they form, those soil life form a symbiotic relationship with the plants, and they can help the plants get all the micronutrients as well as the macronutrients, which helps them become much more pest resilient. And so the practical aspect of the Nordic system then is to obviously not dig the soil, not turn it over, and not destroy that fragile ecosystem. So you, to build a bed in the Nordic system, you can start off with cardboard. It just blocks the weeds, and then you put your mulch on top, which in my case, I used manure and mushroom compost.
Right. Yeah. And then you just plant in there?
Yeah, you can plant. Well, ideally, you'd cover it for a year and let the cardboard rot down.
Right.
And then you can plant in it, yeah.
So now would be the ideal time?
Now on until January even, you could, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Build your bed for next year.
Right, yeah. That's great, yeah. If there's anybody, you know, beginners that are listening and they want to get into growing maybe some of their own different veg, which is the easiest to start with, do you think? And, you know, for pests and resilience and that kind of thing.
Well, one of the easiest to start with or to plant is potatoes. They're very easy to plant, but the problem in Ireland, of course, is blight. So there are currently a lot of research into blight-resistant potatoes, which if you... What's the... I can't remember the name of them now, but they're over in Scotland. They've bred some 3 different types of blight-resistant potatoes. There's also a purple kind as well. I can't remember what the name is either, but you can Google it there, and it's blight-resistant as well.
Right.
And it's a purple potato. It's quite striking.
I can imagine, yeah. We love our old spuds in Ireland.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Oh, definitely, every day. Yeah. Without fear. Yeah. Spuds and soup and soup and spuds. Yeah. That's what the father used to say. You're obviously into cannabis. What first got you into cannabis?
Well, recreationally, really. When I was a teenager, when I was about 16 or 17, going to gigs, there's a lot of it around in the music and the music industry. And it wasn't until I was maybe, in my early 20s when I met my fiancé, who suffers from epilepsy, that I kind of started researching the medicinal side of it. And we went the last 2 or 3 years, we've been trying to convince the neuro guy to apply for licenses and everything else. And it's a bit of a battle.
Yeah, the current system is a balls altogether.
It is,
You know, what kind of hurdles do you come up against?
We can't even get. The doctors won't even. They're not even open to it. A lot of them, you know. That's the first hurdle.
You're consulting. Yeah, but it's an obvious one. I stumbled at that one myself. I think that's the first place you turn, because it's the fucking you know, it's the person that you have the most confidence in is your you know. I know that anytime that I go, I get the same doctor every time. Like, you know, has been that way for fucking years now, you know what I mean? Like, so I think I approached my own doctor and he couldn't do it because of fucking he was open to do it, like, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
South African dude, very nice dude, but fucking his insurance company fucking advised against it, says won't insure you if anything goes wrong, like, you know. So he couldn't fucking do it. He'd struck off the bar, like, you know, effectively, like, you know. But it's convincing that you're a consultant, like. But is it a neurologist or an epilepsy specialist?
Both. We have both.
Actually. Right.
Talking to both, but yeah, the epilepsy nurse is actually a lot more open to it, but it's not really in her hands, I don't think so.
Yeah, because
unfortunately.
Like, the guidelines are out there, like, you know what I mean?
And you expect the doctors to be kind of the people who are up to speed and at the cutting edge of medicine and the science that's out there, but they don't seem to be, in this respect at least, anyway.
And has your girlfriend found relief in?
Yeah, absolutely. We went to Amsterdam. Obviously, it was meant to be a recreational holiday, but just her she has grand mal seizures and absent seizures, but the medication that she's on is very successful at controlling the grand mal seizures and to a certain extent the absent seizures. But when we were in Amsterdam with the cannabis, she had zero activity, and even for a week after coming home, zero activity. She was in the best health I've ever seen her. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show the difference in quality of life.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
For myself personally, I couldn't see myself being alive to this day. You know, yeah. I got a letter back from my neurologist there the other day, and he was just saying how the he put down and he actually ran for the doll. That's in the letter that's going back around. Yeah, you know,
that's great.
Yeah, and I'm actually coming down. I had a consultation there during the week, and I want to come down off my epilepsy meds.
That's great.
And I wanted to get in contact with him, tie in with him, because coming down off them is fucking, you know, it can be dodgy. But he's happy enough now to reduce me by.
That's fantastic.
Because I made a huge jump before when I was in Spain for the 3 months. I came down about 30% of my.
That's a significant amount.
Yeah,
for sure.
It is. But I was on double the fucking effective dose.
Yeah.
You know, the maximum dose, really, you should be we'd say X amount, you know. Mm. I was on double that. So, and now I'm on just a little bit above that. So,
yeah.
To come down to the maximum dose
it's an achievement for sure. And it's for your doctors to see that, it must be kind of a changing factor in their mind, at least.
Yeah, especially with the benzos, I had a very hard time with them, but now I'm down to one in the morning, and even that, he made note of that. I went to radiotherapy and I lost a bit of my hair where it was fucking done, but I was telling him fucking my hair was growing back when I was getting chemo, you know, and I was running for the doll, you know. So my life before this was, I had grand mals once a month, you know, and I'm sure it's not just for me, but it's traumatic for my family, and you know, if the children see it, so I'm sure it's very traumatic for you as well, see a person that you love, you know.
It is, it's quite heart-wrenching, to feel that, or to, you know, I actually found it harder when she was better to see the difference in her quality of life. It cheered me up, to see the difference when she was using the cannabis, and how much better and how much more energy, and just, she just had more personality of herself. Like, it was.
Yeah. Amazing. The way I look at it is, and I think I could be right, is that, the brain fires all these signals, right? And an overload of those is what brings on a seizure, in my opinion, okay? Because that's the way I find it. If I get frazzled, or if I'm under stress or something like that, you know?
Yeah, stress is a big trigger.
Big time, yeah. But I found since I started using the oils, they have a longer lasting effect. They're more level than, if you smoke a joint, or a blunt or whatever, it's just that quick hit and it lasts maybe an hour. Whereas you don't get that quick hit, it's a slow onset, and it lasts for a few hours. Have you ever done cookies or any edibles?
I prefer edibles. I rarely, rarely smoke.
But I found that it slows down the signals to the brain. Mm. So that and a bit of breathing and meditation, for me, and identifying that I was an angry bastard, like, you know, like fucking, I was very, very fucking, how would I say, fucking spiteful. And, you know, I was very disappointed that God had fucking treated me this, you know, way, like, you know, had fucking given me this life, you know. Yeah. But like fucking, it's, I wouldn't change it now for the world, like, you know, it's made me into a better husband, a better father and everything, like, you know. So, fucking, I just think that we need to have more training, I think, like, and the only way that possible doing that is, like, the doctor's hands, like, my consultant's hands that prescribes me, his hands are tight, like, you know, at the minute, like, you know, and they're going back and forth with the HSE, and there's no movement there. So,
and that's what really will change it is the HSE, because it'll change the insurance policies then, or the insurance's opinions.
Yeah,
because it's what's enforceable then in the courts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and as soon as that happens, then there's no shortage of information if they really, really wanted to get into it, like, you know, and there's money to be made for it.
There's a huge industry, potential industry there, in both the medicinal and the recreational industries. Massive amounts of job creation and creation of knowledge as well, and just quality of life for everyone.
Like, mark my words, the first person to set up a medical clinic here for medicinal cannabis is going to be the richest person in Ireland.
Yeah, and that's for sure, the truth. For absolute. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's, you know, and I think the only way that we're going to get that is through if we join up the two sides, you know, like, I know you refer to it as recreational, you know, but I don't see that at all. I see it's the same as somebody using a cigarette or even down to a glass of water, you know, to calm down, or a pint or whatever in the evening, you know. They're all medicinal, you know, you're using it for a reason, you know. And recreational to me is like is you know, there's a word in it itself, it's to recreate, you know. When you have a few pints, that's recreational, because you're going back over all memories and you're talking about old times, and you'll probably end up in the rats and crying and hating one another or whatever, like, you know? But fucking, you know, I think that you know, it's a medicine, and it's a plant medicine as well, like, you know. So the person that smokes a joint in the evening to me is no different than even a cigarette smoker, you know. And the current views of the politicians at the minute is that I know that Stephen Donnelly, he used to smoke.
He has mentioned that, that he used to smoke, and he wouldn't be opposed to legalisation or decriminalisation anyway, at least.
He blocked a guy, though, today that was, you know, a solid activist on Twitter, like, you know. But I think he was haunting him, though. So I wouldn't blame him, man. If you're listening to this podcast, either of you, Stephen, I don't blame you, and Sham, other fella, don't be fucking haunting people, please. If they don't answer you, they don't have an answer. You know what I mean? Silence is powerful. So it is. So they'll get back to you. Listen to me. I wrote to Stephen Donnelly at the start as well, and I haven't got an answer yet. So give him time. You know what I mean? He doesn't have all the answers at the minute. Fucking, you know, they're only trying to get their feet on the fucking ground with this pandemic. You know. How's the pandemic been around your life?
Well, for me personally, it didn't really change much of my life at all.
It's the same.
I've been very lucky, you know, because we have the farm there and a big project on. The only difference it made was when the hardware was closed for a couple of weeks.
Apart
from that, you know, I know I have a lot of friends that live, you know, in Dublin and in Galway. Galway, not too bad, but there's people in Dublin and stuck in apartments, and it must have been very hard for people like that. But for me, it was, I don't need to rub it in, but it was lovely.
Great time with the kids, and apparently there wasn't a single case out there, like, you know.
The
community really came together, like, you know.
Although I was working on a building site a couple of days ago, And not in that site, but in a sister site somewhere else in the country, there was a case, and the site has been shut down. So I think the regulations and the protocols that have been put in place are working. Like, you know, the whole site has been shut down, and everyone's been notified, and everyone's been tracked, and is off work for 2 weeks, laid off, and yeah, everyone's in quarantine. Like, so.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I don't know what's true at all these days. You've seen so much fucking shit on the net there. I always went to, for my case, for medicinal cannabis, I always went to PubMed. Does you know that website? PubMed.gov. Yeah, yeah. You know, a government website, right? That it's over 95% of the articles are cited in the medical journal. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? So, fucking... I seen this article on it about fucking 5G and how it could fucking change your skin or your DNA.
It's
so
much, yeah.
Yeah, so like, fucking you don't know what to believe these days. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I mean, there's so much information. Well, I guess there's always been conflicting information, but it's never been easier to access both sides of it. And like you say, it's just confusing to know which is the true line, you know?
Facebook, to me now, it's just, I'm getting turned off it, like, you know, that's being honest with you. Yeah. The snooze button is brilliant. Try it. Believe me, make your day an awful lot better. So. But I try and stay off it as much as possible. Yeah. Instagram, I'll fucking go on it just to promote the fucking podcast, and that's it, like, you know? Yeah. Interact with the fucking few followers or whatever, like, you know, but it's fucking crazy, man. The world's gone fucking crazy.
For sure, yeah.
Tell us where we can find you.
So I'm on, we were just talking about how bad social social websites are, but yeah. I'm actually on both Facebook and Instagram, but my Facebook is probably the most active, and it's at Jacob's Regbox.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very active there. I put up usually one or two videos a week explaining what I'm doing, the principles behind it, and just general updates as well on the farm.
Excellent. Good. And I always ask every guest here, what is your favourite strain to smoke? And for what reason?
Well, I don't really smoke that often. I do use edibles a bit more, but I have to say Durban Poison is one of my favourites.
That keeps coming up, so it does. And even, like, there's an old story of a fella across the road there. Yeah. He says that years ago, when he was back in the pub gigging, a fella came in and gave him a fucking this bit of Durban Poison, like, you know. This is back in the fucking 70s, like, you know. And he says he fucking smoked it, and he was tripping off the fucking thing. Like, you know? Well, why is it about that strain?
I don't know, but one of the main reason I picked it is because I don't anymore, but I used to grow when I had a bit more time back a few years ago, and it grows quite well here. Durban Poison grows quite well here.
And was that the full version or auto flowers?
That was the photo, yeah.
Oh, savage. Yeah. Yeah, so do you hear that now, folks? Get your Durban Poison going. What does it taste like?
It's a little bit diesely, right. On the diesely end of it, yeah.
And, is it purple?
It's dark, yeah.
Is that because of our climate here, do you think?
It is. I think it's naturally a bit more purple than some of them are, but the cold climate, the cold nights bring it on as well, yeah. For sure.
Because I seen a plant that was just a seed that was thrown in someone's back garden, and it grew into a fucking tree. Right? And we were looking at the flowers on it, like, you know, and the flowers don't develop as well in there.
No, they don't. They're kind of a bit more airy and loose.
Yeah. But they were all purple and black.
Yeah.
Right. And he was saying, that's mold. And I says, no, that's not fucking mold, man.
No, if it was mold, you'd know it. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You've got powdery mildew or botrytis or something, it's quite obvious.
Yeah.
he eventually let it go and it did go mouldy. So.
Oh, right. Perhaps it was mouldy as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but the crystals on it, like, you know what I mean? You could have fucking, for the size of the tree, you could have fucking just cut it down even before it went mouldy, you know, and made a serious amount of fucking medicine out of it, like, you know? Well, it was a pleasure having you on, man, and I'd love to have you back on again. And
yeah,
if
for
you can
sure,
give us, or when you're up and running. And,
when I'm up and running, we'll do when we're doing the rounds for promoting for when we launch. I'll give you a shout and we'll do another.
So that's folks. That's Jacob's Veg Box. You can find him on Facebook and on Twitter as well. And I've just been looking at that veg there, and it's absolutely beautiful. So. If you're in the area, if you're in the Roscommon area, or even if if you want to get in touch about getting...
If you want to get in touch, if we get enough people even in Athlone, we'd do a delivery up there. But mostly the Roscommon area, so we're looking at the moment doing Roscommon, Tyrone-Barry, Longford and Strokestown and 4 Mile House.
Perfect, yeah. Perfect. Excellent. And thanks very much for coming down and being my first guest here in my little studio. Well, fucking little utility room with me fucking washing. Do you like me washing machine? But pleasure to have you. That's been Mo, aka Jacob's Veg Box. And I'll talk to you later. This is me signing out. We'll talk to you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. See you later. Namaste. Well, folks. What did you think of that? Send us in your feelings on the back of a 20 euro note, care of Ballyhorn Post Office. If you would like to support this podcast and you like listening to this podcast, there's a couple of ways of doing it. You can become a patron, where you give me the price of a cup of coffee or whatever each month, pay me for my work, or you can buy a t-shirt. The link is on all my social media pages, so you can find I have Cannabis Patient Podcast ones, I have Limb ones, I have any Hash Lads ones, and a few others as well. You can do that, or you can give me a once-off donation on a paypal.com/ Kenny's Treatment Fund. Fucking Patreons who donate, say, a cup of coffee every month, they get 50% off all of the Cannabis Patient podcast merchandise. And the half of, if you buy a t-shirt, we'll say, and you're not a patron, you pay a full price, that other half goes towards my treatment. It's fucking not looking likely, but I've been in talks with my consultant, and I'm going reducing my THC and CBD intake as well by a third, as well as making other reductions in my Keppra. I'm going to try and reducing that. And I've already made a huge reduction in my fucking benzo intake. So fucking happy days. So I'm down to like one in the morning for the last ages. I used to be able to, get the odd day where I'd take two. You know, I'd get nervous and, you know. But I was able to take a shower last week for the first time without fucking feeling nervous. And it was the most wonderful fucking feeling in the world, like, you know. This quality life that cannabis has given me, and I hope that it continues to give me, is fucking amazing altogether. I can't thank Gino Kenny and Vera Toomey and even the guys in the department, and to Simon. You know, Simon done all he could for me. Eugene Murphy, another good guy, big heart indeed. But it's down to the people to make the change. You know, it was great to see people at the smoke up there. And so many more talking about another event, you know. And actually, I see that there's a yoga smoking event, you know, or yoga cannabis event, you know, where you can, you know, it's a normal thing for you know, especially in the likings of BJJ and yoga, you know, where people would have to, you know, extend their muscles in that. You know, CBD and cannabis is a big thing there, you know. So that's going on in the Phoenix Park. I don't know when. I think it's up on the Major Smoke Up page, at Major Smoke Up on Instagram there. You can follow them for updates on the next get-together event. The last one was fantastic. I couldn't recommend it enough. It was like being in another country, to be honest with you. So I'd like to see loads more, and hopefully we can get a bit of music next one. It'd be great to see. It'd be great. Maybe we can get a few bands. If we put in the organization a bit earlier, maybe we could get a few bands or a few DJs or something like that. Get a bit of crack going as well, you know. But to see other events like this, like the yoga, we can come up with other things, like maybe a mass meditation. I would love to do a mass meditation. You know, I think that would be wonderful, you know, while consuming cannabis. Like, you know, I think that would be absolutely wonderful. If any of you want to get involved in that as well. Oh, yeah, as well as that. I was thinking as well for a podcast as well, that I would maybe do a little bit of meditation for you in the coming weeks, and bring you on a guided trip, as to say, or so to say. I'll be writing the music in 432 hertz, which is the olden standard. Supposedly, apparently, it resonates with the body more so than the now standard tuning of 440 hertz. I certainly can feel a difference in it, in my voice and in the notes and tones that it can be achieved, and how the certain vibrations, you know, it's a more natural feeling one to me. Now, my ears are trained, you know, like I've been fucking playing guitar since I was 9, and I've been mixing music since I've been 15, 16. I've been mixing music, you know. So I was thinking of doing podcasts solely where I'll bring you on a trip. It'd be kind of like one that I wouldn't advise you to drive while listening to. So if you're interested in that, get on to me, and if you have any questions about it, get on to me on Instagram. I'm there at the Cannabis Patient Podcast on there. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook and that kind of crack, but you know, Facebook has gone to the dogs, and I just want to get away from it, to be honest with you. I find it's taking up too much memory on my computer and on my phone, even, you know. It's like as if it's doing something in the background, you know, constantly, you know. And I'd want to fucking put on the tinfoil hat or that, you know. But it fucking certainly doing something. You know, because I noticed when anytime I fucking I have a browser with that open, that the fan goes on the laptop, and it you know, wouldn't with other kind of sites like fucking Reddit or that I'd be on, you know. Yeah, so I want to kind of get off Facebook, and Twitter is just a fucking, as I said earlier, it seems that it's a playground of fucking opinionated people. You know, like you can say something is black, and it clearly being black, and you'll have somebody saying, no, that's white for such and such a reason. Or I don't fucking get into it. I normally fucking, if I get into, if somebody comments on something I say and I don't agree with it necessarily, I'll fucking troll the shite out of them. That's what I do. So fucking be aware. I am king of the internet as well as king of Ireland. So I'm on it and stay on, so fucking don't fuck around, ye old fogies, as I'll make a show ye, ye whores. You know who I'm talking about, by. And girls. Oh yeah, fucking, I'd encourage fucking people to listen as well, not just to your male friends, but encourage your female friends to get a listen as well, because it's currently fucking about 80%. Males that listen to this, and you know, going from my stats, you know, and only 20% of females. And on the day up in the fucking Phoenix Park, I know, no, you don't want to be fucking, the last thing you want is a fucking interview when you're stoned. If you just were chillaxing, the last thing you want to do is someone like me fucking stammering in your face asking questions, you know. That's why I had Aggie with me on the day. But I could barely you know, on the day I got no girls to talk to me. I don't know why. You know, I'm not a bad looking fella on a day, or I'm not creepy. No, I had Aggie there on the day. Aggie is I think he's a kind of an unofficial co-producer of this podcast. I'd like to give him a big shout out to him and Rachel, who is over from Switzerland. So I'd like to give a big shout out to them, and they're on their holidays at the moment. And yeah, so it was him that was going around to ask the people before I actually came up. So because I'm actually a pretty shy person, like, you know, I fucking, until like I sit down and you know, I can fucking ask questions, and you know, I can let the other person talk then, you know. And you know, it was great with Mo there this evening. You know, doing this podcast thing is it's fucking, it's daunting. You know, like you do an awful lot of preparation, you know. But this one with Mo, I didn't bother doing any prep at all. I just said, look, fucking, he's a mutual, or sorry, he's a friend of a friend, you know, and any friend of Jinxie's is a friend of mine, is, you know, and Jinxie spoke very highly of him. So I was looking forward to meeting him and getting to know his story about the veg and that, because I, you know, as you know yourself, I'm growing me old veg out the back there. I've me garlic and me spring onions and sage and mint and strawberries and spuds, you name it, I've it. And I know that other people that are into cannabis are more than likely spiritual people, are into connection with the earth, and you know, would like to know more about that kind of crack, you know. So it was great to just be able to sit down in the studio here and not to be worrying about any fucking faults with Zoom, or any of that crack at all. I'm on me fucking Ableton here. I'm master of Ableton, so I am fucking so I can do whatever I want, and not have to worry about fucking skips in the audio or anything like that, like, you know, or audio coming in and out. Like, if you listen back, and I'll tell you now, if you listen back to that that interview I done with Martin Condon off Martin's World, Jesus, man, I had to fucking re-record half my fucking questions for that. that was on a wing and a prayer. Martin couldn't hear my mic kept dropping out during that, so Martin couldn't hear me at all, and he just had to fucking fill out the blanks and answer. So fair fucks to him, like, you know. But I'm glad that we're finally coming out of lockdown, and so I can have guests in the studio. Finally, well, I won't call it my studio until I get the fucking washing machine over here. It's not a studio; it's a fucking utility room. So until next week, I'll say namaste and God bless you all, and thanks very much for tuning in.